Thank you so very much. And God bless you for being in the house of God this morning. Great crowd on this Time Change Sunday. I don't generally bring to the pulpit articles from the newspaper. In fact, the truth is we don't really watch the news at home. I do hear it from time to time on my car radio. If I'm between visits or something, I'll just at the top of the hour, you listen to the first minute, you got the news for the day. So I'm not much of a news person, but I could not let this one go untouched. I don't know what the view is. I think it's some ladies that speak from what I can tell from this article. And from what I can tell from this article from a Joy Bayar, I don't know who she is. I feel sorry for her. She looks very elderly. I don't know. Maybe she's lost her mind. I don't know. I don't know anything about this program. If it's your favorite program, I'm sorry for you. But nonetheless, The View, this was 2-3 weeks ago. I want to say something immediately. But you know, I don't want to make this pulpit where you hear garbage all week long and then I give you more. So I've waited with this garbage. And you probably know where this goes. And it's a shame that a person would still be on a television station and not removed immediately. Can you imagine saying something like this about the Muslim faith? Or the Hindu faith? Or the Buddhist faith? Or could you imagine saying something like this against sodomy? But she says, and I quote, and we'll get to our scripture, because if she thinks that talking to Jesus is a mental illness, I wish she'd listen. I'm going to give you a lot more than just talking to Jesus today, and he's going to talk back. I see him. That's going to go over real well. Now, no man has seen God any time. The invisible form, he's never seen him. But I would, how in the world could be a preacher of the gospel if he doesn't talk to me and I don't talk to him and he doesn't see me and I see him? There's a lot of ways I can see God. And it's quite a journey. It's not a mental illness. And she said this regarding Vice President Mike Pence on his Christian Faith on Tuesday, mocking the former governor for talking to Jesus. And she said, it is a mental illness. Well, you're in the wrong country, honey. We came to Plymouth Rock, and if you look at the Mayflower Pack, we came to this country to worship God. And the first state in the world, the first place, was Rhode Island in 1600, said, this is a place where you can have freedom of religion. And there's no law against you and your faith in this country. And one nation under God. And in our coins and currency, in God we trust. We did pretty well with God until 62 and 63. And I remember being in school when they said, we don't want the Bible and we don't want prayer. Now, how are we doing on our public campuses? We're not doing very well. When I was a boy, we never had to have police on our campus, never one time. I went to high school about 20 minutes from here. We had over 2,500 in our school. I think there's 598 graduates in my class. And I'll tell you what, we never saw a policeman, and we never had metal detectors to go through. Things have changed. Does it maybe dawn on us that we have kicked God out of our lives, out of our churches, out of our homes, out of our country? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Oh, but she goes on to say, and I'm going to put her down in just a minute. Not put her down, put this in the pulpit, get rid of it. As bad as you think Trump is, she said, and don't listen to all what the news says about him, by the way, either. And I'm not advocating all he's for, but as bad as you think Trump is, you would really be worried about Pence. Everyone that is wishing impeachment might want to reconsider their life. She said in a clip, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. But he thinks Jesus tells him things to say. Well, honey, he does. That's called the Holy Spirit of God. He shuts our mouths, he opens our mouth, and the Spirit of God, if you're saved, he will say, don't say that. Don't say that. Go ahead and say, I was wrong there. I shouldn't have talked that way to you, wife. What's interesting, she says that he thinks that Jesus tells Mike Pence things to say. I'm almost done with polluting this pulpit. She says it's one thing to talk to Jesus, but it's another thing when you think Jesus talks to you. In my estimation, this is mental illness. Can you imagine? If I called a women's convention mental illness, or whatever Christian, whatever religious background you have, a mental illness, and a call loving my God, loving Jesus, and walking with Jesus, and talking with Jesus, and living with him, having him in my heart, to call in a mental illness, I'm ashamed of whatever news organization she's with. They had character, they'd say, you cannot say that in this country. You stepped over the line. You're going to lose your job for that. By the way, they believe that people should lose their jobs for other things, not even as offensive. They believe you're guilty until proven innocent. My Bible has a man that is by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a married man. Chapter 8, verse 1. Ezekiel was a man that had his own house, and he was living in his house. He was also a captive. His wife died in chapter 24, verse 6 and 8. Here was a man, and God told him some strange things. I don't understand why God said, I want you to lay on your right side for 430 days. Now I want you to lay on your left side. Now that's just unusual. I don't know why God would say that. But it's not up to me to determine what God says. I know God doesn't speak to us today like he did audibly to these Old Testament saints. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. But friend, I want to say today, first of all, and I'll give you my message at the close so you can pull it all together in a few moments. He saw God in a vision. The book of Ezekiel is a vision book. God was showing him what it's going to be like for Babylon, what it's going to be like for the children of Israel, what it's going to be like for this one and this one and this one, what's going to happen to society. He's telling Ezekiel, this is the vision. Look at verse number 1. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw the vision of the Lord. I saw the vision of the Lord. Look at verse number 24. And I heard the noise of the wings. God dealt with this man, and he saw something. Do you know this song? I can see the hand. I can feel the touch. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice that I hear falling on my ear. And he walks with me and he talks with me. Once again, yes, I face Satan this morning, but also can see God through his word. You can see the plan of God. You can see the work of God. You can see what God wants you to do in this book. Yes. Not only does God talk to me, Sister Joy. Back up. No, Sister Joy. Joy. I can see him. I tell you, I saw him this morning. It was dark. And then it was cloudy. And then that sun began to rise. I see him in creation. No man, no Republican, no Democrat, no liberal, no Muhammad, no Confucius, nobody raised that son this morning but God Almighty. It is God that sends Job the frost, the snow, the rain, not the environmentalist. God did it. God is in control. And I want you to know today that here is Ezekiel, and he saw the Lord. Notice what he says over here in chapter number 2. When the Spirit entered me, he spake to me. I set my feet and I heard him that spake to me. Here's a man that God says, I want to just deal with you. I want you to see something. Can't you see, as Jeremiah saw, and he saw the multitudes in that city that had gone into captivity, and he said, dost thou not care? Dost thou not care? Don't we care that, can't you see, how far do you have to go in the Silicon Valley? Not far before you see a family under an underpass living in a little tent. That is the absence of a New Testament local church. They don't need more government to give to them. They need to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and then obey what God shows them from the Word of God. Get up. And the Bible says if a man will not work, he should not eat. We have been so duped in our mind. No, you'll minimize the manhood of a man when he doesn't work. Oh, I'm all for someone cannot work and provide for themselves. Let's gather together as a church. Let's do what we can. Let's do to help someone along the pathway of life. This business to say, I'm not going to work. I don't believe in work. I don't enjoy work. Can't you see you're placing yourself in bondage? When a man reads this book, and a man gets study from this book, and he sees what's in this book, I'm so thankful for this book. I can see where we're going. In the last days, Matthew 24, shall false prophets enter in among you. I can see what's happening in these last days. I turn over here, if you may want to turn, Matthew chapter number 24. In Matthew 24, in the first book of the New Testament, here's what I see, because God's word tells me it's going to take place. Verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. And so deceive many, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, that's disease, and earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you and be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's why Christians are hated today. It's for God's sake, for his name. And many shall be offended and many betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 23, and if there be any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that even possible they shall deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, God speaks to us through his words, my words shall not pass, for that day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. As of the days of Noah were, so shall it come the days of the Son of Man. For the days that were before the flood, there was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. God's not against marriage, certainly, but it was just a play activity. It's all about me. It's all about my selfie. We live in a self-centered society. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready, for such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Oh yes, he is coming again. He's coming again. I want you to tell you, I can see he's coming. Can't you see it? God says, as you begin to see these things take place, you begin to see Isaiah chapter 3, where children will rule over parents and women will rule over men. That's Isaiah 3. That's what God said is going to happen in the last day. And men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, full of covetousness, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, covenant breakers, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what, if I could not see God in His Word, if I could not see God in creation, who in the world am I serving? No, I'm not seeing God face to face. But I tell you what, friend, creation tells the story of God. There's glory all around. And thank God there is a sunrise and a sunset, and the oceans come into the, and we know exactly what time God's going to have high tide and low tide, and we have spring and summer and fall and winter. We don't go from spring to winter, friend, because God's in charge. Can't you see His handiwork when you see those cathedral trees in the redwoods that He's pulled up 200, 300, 400 feet up in the sky, and they're like cathedrals reaching up into heaven. God created everything. I see His creation in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Psalm chapter 8. But not only do I see God, this is good for you, joy. I hear God's voice. So I don't. My Bible says in verse number 24, and then I went, I heard the noise of wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. Verse 28, the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud, the day of the rain, and the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance likeness of the glory of God, and when I saw it, you see something when you know God, I fell on my face and I heard a voice. I heard a voice. I'm glad for that song, honey, that He still speaks. I know His voice, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. How ludicrous that you think that you're such a big shot, or I'm such a big shot, that I can get by in life without God speaking to me and without seeing God's handiwork and God's grace and God's mercy and God's power and God's might. Oh, I see it and I hear it today. And here was Ezekiel, and he heard something. I like that song. I like that song that deals with this, page 431. Maybe if you could just look at it. I want you to see it. I come to the garden alone, I just quoted it, while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear, keep your songbook right there, falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. It's 431. It's an old, old hymn. Look at that second stanza. We're talking, not only do we see the Lord, but we hear the Lord's voice. He speaks, verse 2. He speaks. Sing that with me, please. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gives to me. Thank you. you please hold your songbook there a moment? I think right before I close, in just a few moments, I want you to see another song. How about chapter 3, verse 1? Moreover, he said unto me. God said something to Elijah, Ezekiel. Doesn't God talk to you? Doesn't he talk to you? Stop and buy your wife some flowers. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. Doesn't the Holy Spirit of God say, well, wife, husband is coming home, kids are coming home, maybe I'll have a good nourishing meal. Doesn't he talk to you? Yes, he does. You know, God does speak to his children. I will speak unto thee. Chapter 2, verse 1, he said unto me, son of man, stand on thy feet and I will speak to thee. God says, I'm going to speak to you, Ezekiel. God speaks to me and speaks to you through his word. God speaks to us through prayer. God speaks to us, the Bible says, through that still, small voice. God speaks to us when we're quiet. There's so much activity. Just watch 8 people standing together. They all have their cell phones out. We can't even carry on a conversation with one another, let alone a quiet conversation with God. One of the big things today is sweeping our country is yoga. Those poor little children at Florida, whatever the school, that got gunned down, they were getting yoga pants that day at their school. Yoga is dangerous. It is a false religion of Hinduism, divorcing the mind and the spirit from the body. Very dangerous. But meditation is not. They've captured something from the Bible called meditation and then divorced the authority of the body, the mind, and the spirit. Yoga is dangerous. It's in every little town and hamlet in America now, everywhere I go. But we are so, why do you think we allow that in the public school and not this in the public school? That tells you it may not be a good thing. Doesn't take the brains of a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out, ladies and gentlemen. I always say the way to know how you're supposed to vote in an election, just watch what the newspapers tell you to vote for and vote the opposite. I don't think they're God-fearing. I don't know if they love that flag. I don't know. But I know my love for that flag is not the same as that news media's love for that flag. And it's been a while since I said it, so I might as well say it while I've got the truck backed up here. I stand for that flag. Now, I'm not getting 30 or 40 million a year, but I still stand for the flag. Not only do I see God and I hear God. This lady's going to think I'm crazy. But in closing, I feel his hand on me. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. That's God speaking to him. The word of the Lord came expressly speaking to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, the land of Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And watch it, the hand of the Lord was there upon me. God's hand was upon me. I want you to see page 421. I ask you to keep your songbook there. Could you turn to 421, please? When you get it, it's just an old song. There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see while going through this world of woe. This hand still leads me where I go. I'm holding to the unseen. put your psalm books away if we had time. We'd go over that song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. I'll tell you what, I've watched the hand of God move drunkards and dope addicts and broken homes through these 42 years. I've watched God move. I've watched God on the invitations of this church and over at the other property for all these years. And sometimes a person has just been so broken down with sin and corruption and wrong, and oh, to be freed from that guilt, because the fact that you saw for the first time, I'm a sinner. God opened your eyes to see something you'd never seen before. You know, this lady, I don't wish her ill, I pity her. Because though she says she's a Christian, she can't be, because she's never seen the hand of God. She's never heard the voice of God. She's never seen the creation of God. And she might be dedicated to her. I don't know what she does. I guess she's on the TV. I'm not on the TV. We're on a lot of radio stations all over this country. And the reason we're on radio instead of TV is because I have a radio face. But you'll figure that out in time. And I'm so glad God has moved with his hand. Sometimes that unseen hand, I don't know what he's doing. Oh, 42 plus years ago, I wanted so badly. I wanted that church in Colorado with just about 8 or 9 or 12 people. I wanted them to call me to be their pastor. But the hand of God won't let me go there. They said, no, we don't want you. We don't want you to be our pastor. Well, then I saw that church in Northern California, 8, 9, 10, 12 people. And they said, no. You know what God was doing? He was holding me back. Because God had a city called Santa Clara, California. And God will direct you. God will direct you. I don't do it every time, I'm certain. But I like to get here. I've said it so many times for different illustrations. There's many ways to get to El Camino Real. I can go down here to Lafayette. I can go right over here at De La Cruz over Trimble. I can go that way to get on El Camino. I can go down Scott Boulevard. I can go down Lafayette. I can go down San Tomas. I can get there many different ways. But I wonder so many times, and I said, now God, just direct me. I wonder when I get to heaven, I'll find out that God let me miss an accident, or God had me prepared for an accident, because I believe his hand is guiding me. And I believe if you're a Christian, God's guiding your hand. There's no mistakes with God. The hand of God. I believe that day in Acts chapter 8, when a religious leader who was hailing the Jews and threatening the Jews and imprisoning the Jews, and then a voice from heaven and a light that said, Saul, Saul, who later became Paul, who wrote from the dictation of the Holy Spirit much in the New Testament, why persecutest thou me? He knew who was talking to him. Because, Lord, he knew, Brother Bertram, God was speaking to him. What will thou have me do? God is still speaking today. God is still with his hand on ours and leading. And God is still walking with us today. My message this morning, my message was birthed out of this text. But that statement, when I heard on my radio that she said Christianity is a mental illness, it grieved me that someone would say that on the airways of this country that's only had the blessings of God. My message today is he still shows, he still speaks, he still touches me. He shows me through his word. He lets me see things through his word. He lets me see things through aged Christians, Titus chapter 2, that know more than I know, and have wisdom that areas I don't have wisdom. And it lets me see things through a wife that loves God. And I try to listen, because she might see something I don't see. And she might say with our children or their mates or our grandchildren, do this, honey. This is important. She sees sometimes what I can't see. And sometimes as God speaks to me and God speaks to her and God shows me and God shows her and God's hand, you say, well, I tell you what, a shallow message today, because you don't know him. I would dread getting up in the morning without knowing that God's going to speak to me that day, that God's not going to show me something that day, that God's not going to direct my path and move with his hand on my life. I want to be so sensitive that I'm listening and I'm watching and I'm feeling the touch of God upon my life. If you know not Christ as Savior, like this dear lady right here, and I don't want to disrespect her, I really try not to, that dear lady cannot know God. Maybe together as a church, whoever she is, on what channel she's, maybe we could pray that she comes to know God. Why should she have to spend eternity away from God? Why can't she? Well, she's a wicked liberal. Well, she might be that, but she could become a Christian. All over this house, I want you to confront, are you a Christian? And if you're not, in a moment we'll pray and we'll stand and we'll have prayer in the pianist to play, and a man will show from a man from the Word of God, if you'll come forward, how to be saved, and a lady from the Word of God, a lady, how to be saved. And Christians, if he has not been speaking to you, and you've not been hearing his voice, and you've not been watching the hand of God lead you, then we ought to get back right with God. It's not God's fault. He has not moved. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father, this morning, I am so very burdened that Christians would know the hand of God, know the voice of God, know and see the hand of God.